Hi, welcome to the podcast that explores what virtual assistants want business owners to know when they start asking themselves the question, "Hey, do I need a VA?" I'm Rachel Davila, and after 18 years as a virtual assistant going it alone, I experienced the steep learning curve from the other side of the VA client relationship when I hired my own VA. Joining me on this podcast is a group of friends and colleagues who all have their own take on what busy entrepreneurs need to know to find, hire, and work with a virtual assistant, and mindfully answer the question, "Hey, do I need a VA?" Let's get this episode started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to season 3, episode 2. Today, we're talking about the financial talk. With me, as usual, is Leanna Remley, Bree BV, and Sydney Hubbard. And I'm your host, Rachel Davila. Finances. I don't know about y'all, but that was the hardest piece for me was when I had to do a business plan. We had to do like a 5-year financials. I'm like, I have zero understanding of budget, of what I would need, all the things. And yet I'm still here, more than 20 years, almost 20 years later. So the financial talk is really for us to share with you how a VA can help you with things like setting up your business, what financial decisions you need to make, where it relates to maybe hiring a VA, or if a VA is the right support for your financial talk, right? Because in past episodes, we've talked about specialist versus virtual assistants. So, when does it make sense to work with a virtual assistant, or does it make sense to hire a bookkeeper or a money coach or an accountant? So, that's all part of today's episode, the financial talk. So, let me ask you guys, when it comes to financials, what comes to mind for you? Maybe in terms of helping a client or maybe in your own business and how that translates.
So for me, when it comes to financials and helping my clients, I can prep them, I can set up accounts, I can do all that stuff for them with their guidance. But as far as the bookkeeping and all that stuff, that is not something I touch. I used to when I first started, and I'm like, no, I'm not a bookkeeper. And definitely not tax season and stuff. That's got to go to an accountant. There are too many laws now to be able to do it just off the seat of your pants and what you think you're supposed to do.
I think too, with clients, especially if they're depending on what phase they are in their business, I try to be mindful of like what are going to be the income generating things that we can work on together versus the stuff that's going to help with foundations and try to find a balance so that it's not just all outgoing to us. Like, what are some of those low hanging fruit things that we can just set up to help bring in some income and keep things going while we're getting the work started so that there is a bit of a balance with the income coming stuff and setting up things. So it means being a little bit like strategic and thinking through what tasks are the priority tasks and then what needs to come after that and just thinking through what the process might look like.
Yeah, I don't do bookkeeping either. Basically, anything that revolves around money. Yeah, there are people who that is their jam, and I am all for them taking it on. I can help set up like a process, but yeah, I don't touch bank accounts, credit card, no, any of that for my own thing. I have a hard enough time doing my own books. So, but Sydney, how about you?
I think about time because I'm a time-based worker. It's certain number per hour and that's that. So I think when I'm talking to new clients about it, I try and give them a rough estimate of this might take me 1 to 2 hours and that's how much that would be for you, just so that they know. And I think that's helpful, especially in the beginning when someone's working with a VA because you might not know how long something would take. And so I think that's how I try and manage it. And then as time goes on, they kind of, the clients get used to a certain thing taking a certain amount of time. And then whenever there's a new thing, I try and keep that in my mind.
One thing we do to help support clients that might seem like a different type of service, but has kind of to do with finances, is we have some clients who, like, when they put out bigger invoices or invoices in general, they don't like having that follow-up talk about, like, hey, your invoice is outstanding. So sometimes we'll play the middleman and even be like, we'll do the follow-up. Hey, you know, you haven't paid so-and-so, we're just following up. Is there anything we can do? And we take away that conversation to get them paid for work that they're doing. So that's a service that you can consider too, if you have a hard time doing that conversation and you're having outstanding invoices going on and on.
Yeah. Asking for money is so, like, I feel it in my gut. Yeah. That's a good service.
And it's funny because it seems like it ends up being received differently too. When it's somebody else asking on behalf of somebody, it seems to get a different response than that person asking directly, or even for me, that same kind of thing. So it might be something to consider that way as well.
To kind of go to more of the beginning, if you're starting to think about hiring a virtual assistant, or you're looking at your budget in terms of bringing on a team member, looking kind of ahead at what that might look like in terms of your finances, a bookkeeper, an accountant, even a money coach could kind of help put that into perspective with where you're at already in your business. And, like, I know when I did my business plan, I didn't even think to put a line item for getting help. So if you're in that stage, in that process, then add a line item for help. Put it in at year one or when you're getting started, even if you don't use it. If you get into that habit of looking, and it might be a small number in year one, but then it grows over the next few years as a VA helps you and your business grow. So it could just be having a small pool of money just to kind of build that foundation, just to kind of get those things under your belt. And if a financial plan isn't in your wheelhouse, it's not in mine, there are people that can kind of walk you through that and kind of talk you through that, because I don't know about you guys, but the term budget is a super scary word for me. But really all it means is I have this much coming in and I have this much going out, and this is where it goes. I don't know why it's so scary. I don't know why. But there are people who that is their jam. They love looking at numbers. They love kind of thinking about it. And I kind of like the law of attraction. Like, if you put it in there, then you'll attract enough money to make it happen, right? So, because I am so happy and grateful that I have enough funds to pay my VAs to help me do the things that they help me do. If you build it, they will come, right? If you think ahead and you plan ahead, then you will have that space and that idea for it. Bree, you had mentioned something about venture capital.
Yeah, so I was talking with somebody recently and they were sharing, like, wouldn't it be great with people who are getting business loans or venture capital and things, if they considered in that process adding in that line you're talking about. Maybe they put in $10,000 or $20,000 in that loan application to have somebody like a VA or a part-time support come in and help them. What that could do for their jump starting their business, right? You're kind of front loading. You can have people come in and help you with setting up processes, the things that you might not know. And that way you don't have to try and figure it out. Somebody might be able to come in with knowledge and get you going and get you started, or things like that, that would progress your business further at the beginning versus having to wait and earn enough cash to have that extra investment aside to be able to put into it. Depending on what feels right for you, that could be an option for you to consider. Depending on your finances and stuff, if having that person come in, and it could be just having them set up the systems for you to do, and then you wait till they come back in, but then you're getting a jump start on some of the things without having to figure out all the pieces.
Yeah, because we don't know what we don't know half the time. And so having somebody who knows? And I think that goes with any of the specialists, right? Like, I know when I started my business, I didn't know what I needed to track, right? And when I hired Sydney, I didn't know how to, you know, what my accountant would need at tax time, right? I knew I was asking for 1099s. Did I need to provide one? You know, so even just having that sounding board of need, right? Like, I don't know what I don't know. Tell me what I'm not even thinking about. I love that. Like, even just having just a small amount to be able to do that, to kind of just go, well, I heard this program works good. Okay, but how are you going to use it? Even just having that, right? It can save you money too, right? Like, because then you're not spending all this time and energy or dollars on programs that aren't right for your business that someone's going to come in and change anyway. So I love that.
Yeah.
I know I've had a few clients say, I wish I would have started my business with a VA. I wish I would have just started that way. They said it would have knocked off years, the ramp up years. It would have knocked things, you know, where they are. 3 years would have been like year one if they just brought in somebody. But they didn't plan for it. They didn't think about it. They didn't think they had the money. And there's ways around not thinking you have the money. You can do a small project. You know, if it only takes a VA an hour, but it's going to take you 8 to figure it out and then do it, is it worth it to hire the VA for an hour? The nice thing about a VA is you can bring them in for a short amount of time versus, hey, you're going to come in, you know, 20 hours a week. It's only like an hour or two. And that gets you so much farther ahead. And the number of clients who have come back and said, if I would have only known. So, and putting that line item in for help or admin or whatever you want to call it makes such a difference. And it's really not, if you're doing a full on budget and asking for money from a venture capitalist, it's really not that much money compared to what you're really asking for.
Well, and I know, like, when I first was starting out, Constant Contact was a new thing, right? Email marketing was a new thing. And I remember sitting with a client who had been in the same training as me. And she did. She spent like 8 to 10 hours trying to create a newsletter for a client. And I mean, she was already working for free. And I set it up in like 20 minutes for her. And she's like, I should have just taken the money they paid you to do it, because then I would have gotten paid for it. Yeah, that's even in startup, I love that idea of what things might be easier and cost you less to hire just to get started. I love that. Oh my gosh, you guys. Brilliant.
And like Leanne said, having those project-based things frees up some of your time and things that you could put towards the capital to buy more hours, right?
When you guys were starting your businesses, did you think of financial decisions? What are other financial decisions that clients need to make? Maybe not around VAs, but other things.
I think a lot of my clients, now granted, I started a long time ago, so I've seen people progress from, I don't have a computer in my office, to, you know, computers are everywhere. Buying the technology, not just the software, but the technology. Do I need this? Do I need that? Does it make sense to, you know, buy this high-end computer, or does the lower-end one work? And thinking those things through, even maybe talking to a VA or somebody else who uses the tool. So computer is a tool. So if, you know, your VA says, well, what are you doing with it? If you're just sending emails, you probably don't need the big gaming machine. You know, a regular laptop will work. So, you know, that just cut out several thousand dollars you didn't need to pay. But all those kinds of pieces, I think all of us are now using boom mics for podcasts. Before I was on the podcast, I didn't need one of these things. You know, those kinds of things, it's nice to have, but did I need it? No. So as I was building my business, I added as I needed, because I didn't have the finances to go just set up a whole office. as my clients are coming in with, hey, I'm working from my office and this is what I've got. It's like, okay, let's change that old thing that's not working anymore and put in something new, but everything else is fine. You know, everything else is working fine. Do you need that fax machine anymore? No, probably not. Let's get rid of that. But you know, you do need a computer. You do need, you know, something that works for you. And those pieces, they cost money and you do need to budget for them, but you can make smart choices and make do until you can have the really fancy thing that you want.
I would agree with that. I think when I was starting my business, I was thinking, how can I do this for free? And the truth is, like, you can do almost anything. A lot of the programs and software might cost money at like higher levels, but you can start at the free version. I know that over the summer for my internship, I was using Canva, and I don't have a pro Canva account. And so I was just doing it for free. And you have to find a lot of workarounds. You have to be creative, but you can do it. And you can do that until you have the money to justify spending on better software. Even for this podcast, it was Zoom and iMovie, and both of those are free, you know? So, and now we're using Riverside, which has a really great free base account. So there's a lot that can be done with free programs and free software. And you can use that until you reflect and you're like, maybe it's time to move up to get the new thing. But as you're just starting, you can definitely just use free versions.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. Like, there's so many things. And like, quite often I'll start with a new client and we go through their tech stack, and there'll be things that they have in multiple places that they could be doing and they're paying for over and over again, right? So consolidating sometimes is helpful to try and remove the things that you're paying for that you don't need. And sometimes it's just like they didn't realize that it was part of that package or it was part of the service that was included and things like that. So yeah, being able to go through those kinds of things and see where we, or maybe it's something they used to use, they didn't realize they still were paying for it, and it's something that is obsolete and we don't need to keep going. Just making sure, but like, you know, there's sometimes worry about the information in there. So teaching them, how do we get the information out so we can let go of it and still have the data that we need. Those can be helpful things too. But just even having somebody as an outside eyes to come in and review with you, what can you can save hundreds of dollars a year just doing that, which frees up money towards support.
The other thing I've noticed, and it's one of the things I'm working on with a few clients now, is when you're looking at the tech stack, which is a list of all of the things that they pay for, subscriptions sneak up on you. But there's a free version. And then if you're paying for like a level, the first level up, and then you said, well, I need this service and that's over here, now I'm paying two. But if I just bumped up this service, now it's cheaper than paying for the second service. So sometimes going through and looking at what does each level of each service provide you. So there's the free and that gives you base stuff. And then there's the next one up and that gives you some stuff. The really good stuff, the rest stuff you really want, is usually way higher up. But maybe you find out that, you know, instead of paying $20 a month, I can pay $25 and get everything versus going to another service and paying another $10. Mm-hmm. And when you start looking at that, it doesn't seem like much to begin with, but how many services do you pay for? I mean, when I start talking to my clients about this stuff, they're like, oh, well, I have this and I only pay for 5 streaming services. I'm like, but do you? And we start talking through and we find out it's closer to 40. And you're like, maybe you can combine some of those things or get rid of some of those things and bring the cost down and now be able to pay for some of the other things like admin help or a bookkeeper or whatever, because you took out the things you don't need.
And one thing to consider about this topic that this tech stack that they're talking about is, you know, starting where you are, but having that idea of where you want to go, even though it might cost a little bit more upfront, if it gives you the tools, the ability to grow into those next levels easier, right? Because some programs you might go, well, I can do this for free, but down the road, I'm going to need this. Then you might want to look at a program or software that will allow you to upgrade to those elements without having to spend the time and resources to switch from a free version to maybe a slightly elevated version. So I kind of feel like it could go both ways, right? Like, you know, like Calendly or something, right? There are freer versions for scheduling, but if you want to then at some point add questionnaires or do different things, right, then it might be worthwhile to start in the program or software that will allow you to grow, even if you're starting with the lower price or the free version. But if it has those elements that you might need down the road, to start there versus I'm going to start here and get used to this thing. And then, oh, now I got to get all used to a new thing when I grow. I think that can help save time and money too. Any other suggestions, ideas for the financial talk?
The only other thing that comes to mind is also being like aware of what your budget is when you do go to work with somebody. I know we've kind of mentioned this before, but having like that open conversation too, like this is the budget that I want to spend on support and what could that look like so that you're not getting in more than you thought or having a bigger bill and being surprised. Mm-hmm. So just making sure you're having open conversations about what your expectations are and what your, even with yourself, like what is your actual budget for yourself that you can comfortably have that support without it feeling like it's a push or a thing that now you're struggling with. And now you're feeling like you are like, you know, you're getting half done projects because you have to quit or you're losing momentum because you're starting stuff, but then we run out of funds and then we have to regroup and re-get back into things. It can be helpful just to know what that is and pace it out in a way that feels comfortable versus that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today on season 3, episode 2, The Financial Talk. If you have any questions for any of us, you can email us at heyvapodcast@gmail.com. I know Leanne is working on a tech stack review, so if that is something that you are considering, I know she'd be happy to work with you on it. And it sounds like Brie also offers that kind of review. So if that is something that you are thinking about now that we put it into your brain, reach out to either of them. Their links are in our link tree. And if this episode was helpful to you, please give it a like, share it with someone who can benefit from it, or leave a review. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a like, comment, or review. And feel free to join our Facebook group, Find, Hire, and Work with a VA, for more tips and tools. If you have any questions, please email them to heyvapodcast@gmail.com. Thanks. We'll see you next time.